Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge meines Podcasts The Walk of Brand, Marke macht Umsatz. Heute befinden wir uns an einer ganz besonderen Location und zwar befinden wir uns beim Nürburgring oder besser gesagt am Nürburgring, genannt auch die grüne Hölle, the green hell. Und genauso besonders wie die Location habe ich auch einen ganz besonderen Gast heute bei mir. Und zwar ist es der liebe Robert Gervais von Corporate Connection, der gerade frisch von Indien über Dubai hier nach Deutschland eingeflogen ist, um hier beim deutschen Experience Day dabei zu sein, German Experience Day dabei zu sein von Corporate Connection. Und deswegen ist auch die Besonderheit, dass wir das heute auf Englisch machen und nicht auf Deutsch. And now I have to switch to English because that you have to understand what I tell you what the questions are. Hello, I'm very glad to have you here, Robert Gervais.
Well, thank you, Thomas. It's great to be here in Germany finally, and it's exciting to be here by the track.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, what a fantastic location. It's great to
That's
be here.
It's great. Cool. So you are Mr. Network. You are a synonym of networking, of connection.
Well, it's kind of you to say. I would actually say maybe instead of Mr. Network, it would be Mr. Relationship.
Mr. Relationship, yeah.
I mean, it is networking, but it's networking with depth and with meaning and relationships that last a lifetime.
Okay, what's the difference between relationship and connection?
Well, I think if you look, and maybe we take social media, you could have 5,000 contacts in your, or however many, some people have more or less, but how many of those people do you actually know? Mm. Like truly know? And if you call them, how many people would know who you are? So I think we have a tendency in the age of technology to connect very quickly and very easily because we can do it with the touch of a finger. Mm. But if all of a sudden we look back at who's in our network, we realize the real relationships in there are very limited and very small. Mm. So for me, the difference is when you have depth of relationship, what you have is a level of trust. And that means that with that level of trust, they're going to help you. They get to know you. And when it comes to whether it's an introduction for business or for personal reasons, they're going to want to help you because you have that relationship.
And that less the relationship grows.
Absolutely. And hopefully it's when you invest into that kind of relationship, it can last a lifetime.
Mm. All right. So before you're doing Corporate Connection, you have your own company. It was Zero Fail?
Zero Fail, yes.
Zero Fail. Can you tell me about that?
By the way, that was an IT infrastructure company with wireless high-speed internet, point-to-point internet, so microwave technologies.
In Canada.
In Canada. Well, Canada and the U.S., we ended up having clients in 23 countries.
Ah, yeah, all right.
Which we grew through the Corporate Connections Network. And what's interesting about, first of all, by the way, Zero Fail is a very dangerous name when you're in technology because clients will remind you about the name if there's any kind of failure.
But it's a good value proposition.
Well, and that was it. That was the promise. We always said, we'll reimburse you if we fail and we don't want to do that and you don't want us to do that. Mm. I had a number of businesses. That was the last large business that I had before exiting that business. We had a very healthy sale to really step into Corporate Connections as my life's passion and my life's work.
And you are an entrepreneur. How old was you when you found your first business?
Oh my gosh.
What was your age?
So, I mean, I started my first job. I was 12 years old. Mm. And I have my father to thank. I was complaining about my allowance, which was a very small amount. And he said, so you want more money? I said, yes. He said, you get no more allowance. And I was like, I think you misunderstood. Mm. But I love the value that he taught me. He said, no, I'm going to help you get a job at a local library stacking books once a week. And I became the wealthiest 12-year-old on the street because I was the only one earning any money.
Okay.
And it just taught me the value that if you work hard and you're willing to work, you can earn.
Yeah.
And that drove me through. My first real business was at age 16. Mm-hmm. I bought a business from someone else. And this is before Costco existed. Mm-hmm. So we were selling household supplies, stretch and seal aluminum foil. So the things you have in a kitchen.
Okay.
Bulk size. Which normally only went to businesses. We were selling them door to door. And it was an incredible learning ground as to what's possible, again, when you hustle, you work hard. Mm. And there was no salary. We earned what we earned. And it, again, taught me, I think, life lessons which really made it that I've never been worried about earning a living because I know I can always go out and do whatever's needed.
Yeah.
But that was the first of many.
Hmm. That's quite similar to mine.
Oh, yeah?
I was 16 as well, and I did my own, my first business. Because my parents, they were in Romania, they were very rich, and then they moved to Germany, and then they were really poor.
Wow.
They were refugees, and they have to start to build the business again. Yeah, and that's what my father taught me. You can have food, you can have clothes, you can have things for school, but if you want something special, you have to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how to, yeah, it's, well, it's quite similar to you.
It's, what's the old saying, right, that people say, oh, whenever you're successful, they go, oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
And it's the old saying, you know, it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully I'm teaching that to my children, not to be afraid of hard work. Smart. You want to have smart work as well, not just hard. But I think if you do, then life is limitless.
Of course.
You can go out and get it.
Of course. When you had your the company, the Zero Fail, yeah, you told me corporate connection was important for you in this case to grow.
Yeah, so I tried a number of different networks, and
you're just a normal member in corporate connection.
Well, before. So I started out. I mean, I was a BNI member, and I tried
like
some. I tried some other organizations, which, by the way, were terrific, but they didn't really allow me to I would say in a very focused way go after business opportunities. BNI did, but it wasn't necessarily the right target market for what I was looking for at that point. I was looking for much larger companies, and there was an opportunity there to use that BNI structure.
Yeah.
But focused on larger companies.
Okay.
Because the systems are there, the processes, the structure, the philosophy of giver's gain, I think are all very strong. So we're like, how can we take this to a market that's a little bit larger and maybe a little bit more international? And that's what we did. We launched the first Corporate Connections group back in 2005 in Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
And
it was your first chapter.
It was my first chapter.
And it's still your chapter, isn't it?
It's still my chapter. And we really, until I sold my business, we weren't building it to bring it across the world. That really happened very naturally and organically. In 2015, I sold my business. But building my business through that period, whether it was the Forum Group or which you know, getting this wealth of experience from other people who had been through similar experiences, and that whole idea of it can be very lonely at the top because you have no one to speak to about your biggest challenges, your biggest opportunities. And having those people around me just accelerated my growth as a business and as an individual. Yeah. And then there were a couple particular moments that had a huge impact. One was Caesars Casinos was launching their World Series of Poker.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO of that division of Caesars was a former Montrealer.
Oh, yeah.
And Mitch Garber. And I wanted to reach out to Mitch. And I reached out to the members in CC. There were two chapters at the time in Montreal, about 70 members. And I said, does anyone know Mitch Garber? And to my surprise, seven people answered.
Really?
Within hours. And I said, can you send this email and personalize it? Basically saying, a friend of mine owns a company that you should speak to about your cloud services, if you will, or your cloud hosting. And they were looking at a company in the U.S., a very large player in the U.S. based out of Texas. And I said, if you could maybe send this to him between, you know, sort of 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. tomorrow.
Mm.
And the next day at around 12:30 or so, I get a call and it's Mr. Garber. And he goes, I don't know who you are, but you're either very well liked or very well connected, but apparently I have to speak to you. And that led to connecting with their COO and Marco, who became a great client.
Yeah.
And really that put us on the map.
Okay.
So that one introduction changed the course of our business. And then the second time is when I went to sell the business. We had a great deal. We were very happy with the deal. And on top of that, we realized one of the big values of the deal is that we had expanded into the U.S., which again came out of a CC meeting by chance. A guest was there, said, I like your business. Are you in the U.S.? We said, no. He said, are you planning on coming to the U.S.? We said, no. And he goes, well, let me open up in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I want to take five states. And I was like, we're not franchising. We're not. Mm-hmm. And he said, will you license?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I guess I could. And I remember there was a lawyer, one of our members in the room, who said, if you need help, I can help you.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's look at it. And that increased the valuation of our business tremendously. So between that, some hard work, a little bit of luck, the forum, we ended up having a very healthy sale in 2015. And I really have corporate connections to thank. I cannot imagine what it would have been in that business without the help of friends and colleagues.
And I think that's the main difference. From corporate connection to all the other networkings there are all over the world. Because there are so many networking formats and networking business groups and things like that. I think that's one of the main problems that the people doesn't know which one is really good, which one fits to myself, and which one is just a group for drinking coffee and tea.
I think that's so true. So I was in, as you know, I was just in Dubai.
Yeah.
And before coming here and I had a dinner with four members a couple nights ago. And one of the members, we're going back to the hotel after he's given me a ride. We start talking. And I asked him why corporate connections. Because I know he's been solicited by some other organizations. Mm. He's very successful, high net worth individual, could be doing anything anywhere. And he does not need to grow his business. Mm. He wants to. Mm-hmm. He has ambition. But he doesn't need it, right? And it was interesting as he said, when I was invited to CC and I came and I looked around the room and I realized the strength of the core values and the culture in the room, I realized this was my community. Mm. And he goes, because for me, and he goes, it's not that the other organizations don't have their own merits. Mm. And he said, but you could see here, people truly care about each other's success. Okay. And he goes, now, he goes, I don't know if it's like that around the world. I go, that's certainly the ambition in every chapter that we have that kind of culture where people genuinely care about your success. Mm. My wife laughs at me all the time because I'm 58 years old and I'll come back from a meeting and talk about someone I met and she'll go, oh, you made a new friend. Nah. And I go, I'm 58 years old. I'm not in kindergarten. I'm not looking to make new friends. But inevitably, you travel the world, you meet like-minded individuals who are successful but want to give back. Mm. And when you put those people in a room together, it can become magical to see what happens. And
different nations, different mindsets.
And that's what you realize. Even though we're from different cultures, histories, mindsets, different backgrounds, when we come together, even though we have differences, there are a lot of similarities. And those similarities, I think, drive the ease of connecting. And the differences are what makes it so exciting and how we learn from each other.
Okay. But how you make sure that each group in each country follows these rules?
Well, you have to have, I think the first thing is you have to have very clear and strict criteria for joining a group. Mm. There are some that are very... statistical, the size of your business. So we want to make sure, and it's not, it is exclusive, but it's not to be exclusive. Mm. And by that, what I mean, that seems contrary when I say that, but what I mean by that is if you have people who have similar size businesses, they're facing similar size problems. And the only way, or also opportunities. Mm. And if you want them to be able to open up and have real conversations and really share about what they're going through, how you can help them. You need to have people who are at a similar stage in their evolution. Mm. Now, again, there's some discrepancy. We're talking about companies that are 5 million in turnover or revenues and up.
Or 10 or 15.
The reality is we tend to aim a little bit higher.
Yeah.
We tend to, most countries would tell you they start at a minimum of 10. Mm. But what you realize, and that's only two, above 10 is only 2% of companies in the world. And when you take out all the financial companies that have those revenues, actual operating companies, it's really a small slice of companies globally that meet that criteria. And then when you put those owners in the room, and I remember I had a very good friend, I won't mention his name because he wouldn't appreciate it, but he wanted to join Corporate Connections in Canada. Right. And I said, no.
Okay.
And he said, no, but I'd be a great member. I have the biggest company of anyone in your chapter right now. And I said, and you're a fantastic human being, but you don't have time. And you're not, I think by nature, you always work so hard, you're not necessarily a natural giver.
Okay.
I said, I think it's going to be challenging for you. And the funny thing is now he wanted to join even more. Mm. Right? He didn't like being told no. And eventually he did not join. He's a friend of the community. He comes to chapter meetings now and then, but it just wasn't the right fit for him. And it wasn't a judgment of this individual. He's a very close friend, still a close friend. But I realized it wasn't the right fit. And I think that's our job as the gatekeepers,
okay,
is to make sure we let the right people in. Mm. And sometimes it's better to say no than say yes.
Yeah.
And if we do that correctly, then that level of trust in the group, that bonding that happens.
Yeah, of course. And the energy is completely different.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's and it's fun to hear those stories, though.
But now you said you don't have time to your friend, yeah? I talk to so many people. I think they are really good connectors, really good business people, and have the right mindset. And often I hear, they said, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I say, okay, what do you say to these people?
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
They're wrong. And I think it's an interesting, and look, I said that to this individual because I was letting him down easy. The reality, I think, we can all make time for the things that we find valuable.
It's a priority, no?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'll give an example. I was talking about people coming to this weekend event that we have coming up, and a few members of my chapter said, I can't, I've got this priority of family, commitment, work, just the weekend, I'd rather, you know. And I said, so you don't see the value? Because they were all saying, I don't have time. And they said, you don't see the value. I go, what if I told you that Chris Martin and Coldplay are going to be there and they're doing a private concert for us? Mm. Every single one of them was like, yeah, I'm coming. I said, oh, so you do have time. Now, he was not coming, by the way.
Yeah.
I had to let them know that was not true. But it was just the idea that, you know, we prioritize our time. And that's perfectly normal and natural. And if someone doesn't prioritize their time, then they probably should not be in corporate connections.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the most valuable things we do. For most of them, the cost of being a member is less important than the cost of the time they will invest.
Yeah, of course, because it's...
That's the real... I mean, we can create all sorts of things in our lives. We cannot create time.
Yeah.
It's finite. It's limited. It's limited resource. We're never going to get it back.
Yeah.
So a good example is I had a close friend, Brian Edgar. So he was... at the time, I believe at the time he was the CEO of Tommy Hilfiger. He became the president of a bestseller. So Jack and Jones, Verimoda.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian said the same thing. I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think you're wrong, Brian. And he said, well, I'm not there to sell a pair of jeans. And I said, that's not what this is about. This is not about selling to each other. This is about accessing each other's networks to accelerate us in our biggest objectives, in our dream goals, and things that we may never find time to do otherwise. And what's interesting is a couple of years after he joined, I asked him what value he'd gotten out of corporate connections. And he said, none really. Like great, great friends, good people, love my forum group. I'm learning, but he couldn't really define it. And it was funny. It was actually his number two who was there who said, Brian, what are you talking about?
Mm.
You know, we've taken our entry into new cities down, or new store launches from sort of 93 days, I can't remember the exact number, like down to like 58. Yeah. Because through CC, we have better suppliers for space.
Save
for,
time.
Yeah, contracts. He goes, every relationship starts at 75 or 80% trust versus from scratch in every new city. So he goes, and that has led to additional revenues, savings, and he said, it's a tremendous time saver.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, and Brian, he goes, the other thing is, we've outsourced our entire distribution or warehouse distribution to another CC member. And Brian was like, well, yeah, but we're spending like $1 million a year on that. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually generating income and spending money. And he said, yeah, but we're saving $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, so we're saving time. We've given up these responsibilities and we're saving $1 million a year. And he goes, CC for me is an accelerator in letting us do our projects in a way where we can focus on what we're best at in a shorter period of time. And he laughed and he said, I guess I am saving time. And he brought back to that conversation we had. Yeah. He said, it's funny how you told me that this would actually be a time saver.
Yeah, but really there are so many people, they don't care about their spendings. They are always, they care about their spendings and not care about their time.
No? Yeah.
Yeah, I think our job is to give them the right values, to understand what the difference is from corporate connection to other networks, and I think that's the main important thing.
It's probably the most challenging thing.
Yeah, because when they don't know, what the rallies are.
Yeah, it's conceptual, right?
It's just a normal network, business network.
Yeah. And look, I've tried them all. And I can't think of any where I had a bad experience, but I had several where it didn't lead to much. Mm. I couldn't measure the results. And for me, what was incredibly important when we started this organization was we need to be able to see that we're actually getting value out of it. Mm. And that's one of our challenges as a growing, and we're growing very quickly, 25, 30% per year, is to constantly reinvent how we are creating this member experience, because we're franchised. It's part of the reason we've grown so quickly. And to make sure that we are all aligned as a community to create that value for all members equally. But that to me is an exciting challenge. These are good growth problems, right? And the good news is I've got a great forum group and a great chapter to help me when I have questions.
Yeah, of course. And all the business people, they love numbers. Yeah. So which KPIs are most important for you? Is there not a return on invest? Is there a return on relationship or anything like that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. And that's something we're still struggling with a little bit. Mm. So we used to track the number of opportunities that came out of Corporate Connections and the dollar results. Mm. And what we learned very quickly with this audience, with this membership, is they don't necessarily want to share those details. And I love what one member said to me, and he's a close friend of mine and from Montreal, and I was doing this kind of discussion, and I asked them the results, and I knew what the financial results were for him, and it was in the millions. So I was like, I'm going to get a good story here that I can share, good for marketing and PR. Yeah. And he said, I don't want to talk about that. And I was like, no, but, and I'm trying to encourage him. And he said, I don't think you understand. He goes, your brand promise is not that I will get business. Mm. He said, your brand promise is that you're going to connect me to other leaders around the world and allow us to generate a relationship that could lead to opportunities. So he goes, so if you want to track the number of connections I've made through CC, I will be happy to share that. And he goes, what I do with that after that is that's my business.
Of course.
And I thought that was a great answer. And he goes, it's Corporate Connections. It's not corporate sales. Mm. It's not corporate revenues. And he goes, I don't want you to promise those results, because he goes, that is not your business. And I thought it was an interesting thing. And he said, but I will share the most valuable connection I made last year. And he goes, my business is going well. We've done very well. I'm not worried about growing the business. I want to, but it's not going to change my life. He goes, but my daughter, she was looking for a stage in France, in Paris at L'Oréal. And a member was able to connect me and help me get that for my daughter. He goes, I don't worry about my business, but I worry about my children every day. And he goes, so for me, he goes, okay, yes, there have been seven-figure deals and my membership is paid for, you know, for the next however many years. He goes, and but the real value for me was my family.
Yeah, and you have another story with your family. The Corporate Connection is not only business.
I have a couple of stories like that, and I assume you're referring to my wife.
Your story about your daughter.
Oh, my daughter.
Need
yes.
Need a specialist, doctor, and you find him.
So it's.
It was an amazing story. I've heard this story, and I was really wow. Okay, that's the most important thing.
100%.
What networking and relationships and connection all about.
It's funny, and it's
maybe you can give a quick.
I'll try to give you a short answer.
A short answer.
It's also a very emotional thing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Course.
It's you know when it comes to your own family, you can be tough in business. You can be tough in all sorts of things. And I believe in trying to be firm but fair, but some people might find that more firm than fair sometimes. You know, we all part of our membership is holding each other accountable to our values. But where you realize that this goes way beyond any of that is when you have a personal emergency. And I've seen this happen, not just to me, but of course, unfortunately, everybody has a story. And most people have faced some kind of hardship at some point in their lives. For us, for my wife and I, when my daughter, Sophie, was born, and it's funny, my wife doesn't love when I share this story because it's obviously very personal.
Okay.
Nonetheless, Sophie had some masses in her stomach, which made up, and we knew this before she was born, and they made up a considerable part of her abdomen, and in this case, really of her. She wasn't even born yet. And there was discussion, do we operate? What is the risk? Mm. What's the risk for the mother carrying?
Before birth.
Yes. Mm. So you're going through all these things. Because if you do surgery, there's risk for both the mother and the baby. So you're, and if you've ever been through any kind of situation like this, it's incredibly stressful because you're trying to make the best decision with the information you have. And we navigated this, obviously, with experts and support. And there were some people in my own chapter who were helping give us advice and introducing us to the doctors. But then when Sophie was born, it was a complicated birth. Mm-hmm. And my wife was incapacitated for a couple of days. She actually got C. difficile at the hospital, so she was in quarantine. Mm-hmm. It was all, I mean, truly, it was quite dramatic. And my daughter's in an incubator, and they're now talking about, do we do surgery or not? And there's that moment where if we do the surgery, and it works, she's good for life.
Everything good, yeah.
If we don't, she might die. Mm-hmm. And if we do it, there's risks in the surgery. And if we don't do the surgery, these masses could reabsorb and she'll be fine. So the surgery is not necessary.
Okay.
So now you've kind of got the dice in your hand. Yeah. You're saying what, and my wife can't help me decide in this very moment. So now it's all on me. Yeah.
So how you make this decision.
Wow. And it's terrifying. Yeah. Right? You're making a potentially a life and death decision. And I reached out and the doctor has mentioned a renowned world expert who comes out of the U.S., Johns Hopkins in Maryland. And I remember that at one point I was down in Washington, D.C. with Sam Schwartz. Sam Schwartz was helping us with corporate connections at the time. And he's an old friend, and I met him through BNI. Mm. And so he's part of the CC community. And I reached out to Sam and said, hey, I don't know if you remember this doctor who came to a meeting, I think, one, and this is like 6-7 years before, or however long it was. And right away, and this is a text, and right away, Sam answers, yes, it's so-and-so, let's get on a call. Mm-hmm. So we jump on a call, he goes, I can connect you. He goes, you need to understand, just opening a file with this gentleman is, you know, sort of, $40,000-$50,000, or sorry, like $100,000, and then it's like $30,000 or $40,000 per consult. He's very expensive. He doesn't take on new clients or new patients. It's virtually impossible to get him. He's in demand globally. And I said, I understand, but if you can try. Mm-hmm. Within about 15 minutes, phone rings, it's the doctor. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Sam told me I had to call you. What do you need? So right away, I get him on the phone with, I explain the situation, get him on the phone with our doctors. And over the next 3 days, they were consulting each other. And finally, based on his advice, they decided not to operate.
Mm. Decide not to operate.
Operate, exactly. Okay. Based on his advice. Mm. It was not an easy decision. There were, you know, he was looking at the entire file, tests. He was doing it from the U.S. He didn't come up, which added to the complexity. And it was kind of terrible because our doctors were leaning towards operating, and he was convinced that given everything he was seeing based on his experience, the risk wasn't worth it. And it was a very hard decision because you feel like you're gambling with your daughter.
Yes, of course.
And my daughter now, who's 9 years old, healthy, playing electric guitar, you know, played hockey last year. Rock, I think you saw a picture of her rock climbing.
Yeah.
Healthy, rambunctious 9-year old. And I cannot imagine how we would have navigated through that without that help and advice. Not to mention, we probably would have done what turned out to be, would have been an unnecessary surgery. And who knows if it would have been successful or not. The additional complications it could have created. So this, I think more than anything, it created a confidence and peace of mind going through what at that time it was the most difficult moment in my life. Having somebody else's life in my hands. And if I didn't have that CC network that I could rely on, and that wasn't the only person. I also had my entire chapter and other members who were supporting us through this.
Yeah, but this is a giver's gain, you told before, no? This is the difference.
But that's the amazing thing, Thomas. Like 2 months, 2-3 months later, I reach out to this doctor and I said, so look, I'd like to settle up. I don't know how much I owe you, $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is.
Whatever.
Like, tell me how I can make this right. And he goes, don't worry about it. And I said, no. And he said, no. I'm not asking you for anything. Sam's a good friend. And I'm happy to help, and that's enough. Mm. And he said, from what I understand, you're part of a community that helps each other. Consider me part of your community. Mm. And I think that just spoke to the values.
Yeah. It's all about the right people and, yeah, the giver's gain.
And yeah, well, and that's what happens when someone who helps other people needs help. Everybody comes to help them and support them.
That's the most important value for me as well, to be part of a corporate connection.
Yeah. Well, and let's make it clear, he wasn't helping me. Yeah. He was helping Sam.
Yeah, because he was his.
Sam was helping me because of our relationship. Yeah, yeah. He's helping Sam indirectly now helping me.
Of course.
So it's amazing when you see those relationships, how they extend out, and that circle of relationship and trust and. It's really kind of remarkable to see when you need it, what can happen. And I've seen that happen, people during COVID with the ventilator they couldn't find one in Mexico. Yeah. And through members, they were able to get one into Mexico, into that hospital in 24 hours and save a family member's life.
Yeah.
So you hear about these stories all over the world of what members do. And it's not our purpose, per se. But it's an incredible byproduct of this community, this amazing community.
Yeah, it's not only business.
No.
It's not only business.
No, it's about life.
Right.
It really is about your life. It's about yourself personally. It's about your family. It is about the business as well, but it's all of it.
And this also main point. It's not all about the businesses. It's about the owner of the businesses, the human.
Yes. No?
That's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
what do you think? It's not about the company and tell my salesman to visit Corporate Connection and do some sales, and that's not Corporate Connection, is it?
No, not at all, actually. It's interesting because we have people come in and they share, let's say, partner disputes. Mm-hmm. And some of them have left their business through, learning about the experiences of other members and advice of members they trust.
Yeah.
So I guess some might argue that it can lead to all sorts of things. That's very rare. I would say 99% of the time, it's really helping them grow their business. But it's interesting to see how it's really focused on that individual and how do you make sure that individual is living their best life and getting the best results that will lead to, I think, the kind of life that we all have an ambition to live, right? Which is one that's fulfilling, giving, and at the end of the day, hopefully legacy building. And in my case, people say, well, what from a legacy standpoint, I go, oh, you're misunderstanding. I'm not talking about what other people think of me. I'm talking about what my children think of me. That's the legacy that I want to build. Yeah. And I think if they could be proud of their dad, and if I could be the person that they think I am at this age, later in life, then I've succeeded. And I hope that CC will continue to provide me with that guidance to do the best that I can.
All right. So the name of the podcast is The Walk of Brand.
Yes.
Let's talk about brand.
Yes.
Corporate Connection, or the brand Corporate Connection. How important is branding for this kind of marketing?
I think it's everything. You mentioned it before that it's not always easy to explain what this kind of member experience is to someone who's never been in an organization like this, a membership-driven organization. People have a perception of networking that could be positive or negative. Mm-hmm. So the brand of our brand, so the Corporate Connections brand, if we do a good job of building that brand and continuously and consistently supporting it,
of course,
then it's going to make it easy for people to find us. Mm-hmm. And we're not, our objective.
And to understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nice. And our objective is not to grow it at any rate. Mm. It's to grow with the right people. And I think the brand is what's going to draw the right people. Mm. And especially in a world, I think a world where technology, in some ways, is making us more connected than ever. I think it's also making us more disconnected than ever. So it's an interesting dichotomy where I may have 5,000 friends on Facebook, but I feel lonely.
But each trend has a different trend. Yeah? So what do you think about that point? In a world full of algorithms and digitalization, AI, do we need human networks?
It depends what you're looking for. I think humans, we're tribal by nature. Mm. And I'm not going to go into the whole history of communities, but if you go back to the very beginning, the communities were formed to protect themselves, right? Yeah. They would form a community so that they could be safe from animals, from other tribes, to really protect themselves. And then through time, I think you have a number of different communities. I won't get into religion, but there are a number of communities that get formed, again, whether it's on beliefs, systems, race, there's a whole bunch of things, eventually nations, borders. We create communities as humans. It's a natural instinct to create a community where we band together, help each other, share resources, and ideally we're stronger for it, even though we know the history of the world, it also leads to conflict and other challenges. But I think nowadays what's happening is, in some way, because of the technology, we can get a lot of what we got from our communities without a community. The borders are no longer limiting us. Our limitation of knowledge is no longer limiting us because it's at our fingertips. We can find it very quickly and very easily. Yet, and I think what that's doing is it's starting to break down some of the existing communities that exist in the world, because it's made them less important, so people get more and more disconnected. Now, strangely enough, I think what happens, it's almost like an elastic band. At some point, it's going to snap back. You get stretched out and you're feeling more and more disconnected. And intellectually, you may feel you don't need it. But I think emotionally, there's a draw to get back and reconnected to individuals. And we're seeing it across the world, the number of challenges that are happening with younger people in so many different ways. And that the level of happiness and optimism is going down. And the way I think to bring that back up is to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
You know, the importance of family, but it's also the importance of friends. And corporate connections, I wouldn't call it the friendship community. That's not the objective, but it's a byproduct of what we do, where if you have trust.
Connecting with real humans.
Well, and you can have real conversations. Yeah. Someone who's not going to tell you what you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear. And I think that's the problem with these algorithms and these technologies. They feed us what we want to hear, which is not always healthy.
Do you think we already reached this point of the elastic band too?
I think it's impossible to know. I do think we're already going. I think we're going in both directions at once.
Okay.
Well, in the sense that the technology is not going to stop developing, and it's hard to imagine where it's going to go. Now with AI, it's
Marshall McLuhan said it was a law of acceleration, and that's it.
It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable what's happening right now. Now, as a child, I think we all, you know, I thought, and many people thought, we'd have flying cars by now. But amazingly enough, you look at a phone, what's contained in a phone is unimaginable when we were children. Like, it's mind-boggling. The content, the information. Yet, I still think that, you know, our brains are the most amazing computers, and everything that we have in our lives, every connection we make, every person we meet, every conversation we have, you know, it's all there between the ears, and it's stored in there. And nothing can replace the emotional element that goes in there.
It could support.
Well, and again, I'm curious to see where technology is going to take us. I'm also terrified for my kids, where it's going to take us. Because someone who loves science fiction, there are a lot of science fiction movies that are quite terrifying in books, and you kind of realize
they're becoming real.
Well, they are. Well. They are. And it's becoming all too easy to be disconnected and not need other people to have success, at least material success. But I don't think that necessarily brings long-term happiness. So I think in many ways we're already, whether the elastic snapping back or the pendulum swing the other way, I think there are a lot of people who are already seeking. And we see it in our chapters. People join and things they say, they go, I just love, when I walked into the room, I love the energy. That's often what they say. I love the energy. I love someone came into one of our chapter meetings and he said, it's like seeing a bunch of friends reunite. Everyone looks so happy to see each other. Everyone's laughing and connecting. And that's pretty amazing to see people who may have not known each other months ago, and now there's this ease between them. So I think people crave that.
I think they realize that that's an important thing. we never should miss.
And it's not a cultural thing. That's the other thing I've noticed is, one of the privileges of what I do is I get to travel the world. And whether I'm in Taiwan, China, or I'm in Japan, or I'm in India, or here in Germany, or in Canada, wherever I go, people are people. Mm-hmm. And you realize that yearning for connection, feeling connected, mm-hmm. meaningful connection, it's everywhere.
Yeah, and it's different to a Teams meeting or a Zoom meeting.
Oh, yeah, can't replace it. It just can't. Yeah. I mean, those are great things.
Yeah.
And they add to our ability to communicate. But there's a reason that I'm here in person.
Yeah.
Is because if I join this, members experience day that will be happening here in Germany tomorrow remotely, I might get to see people, see what's going on, even meet people, but it'll be a completely different experience and I won't have the bond of relationship that'll be created by being here in person.
Perfect. I'm really happy that you're here in person.
Well, likewise. It's great to be here.
So, what do you think? What's the most important thing business owners in the size from 5 million or 10 million should know about business?
Oh, wow. That's a big question.
Yeah, because there are so many things you should do that, you should do that, and all the books and hacks and things like that. But what do you think it's the most important thing, the one thing you can give me or my guests, my audience, as an advice?
Yeah, I there's the old, you become the five people you surround yourself with. And I do believe there's a lot of truth in that. Mm. And I think certainly in every, so I've had several businesses and I've always been someone who's had partners in every business. And I've been very lucky to have very good partners. Mm. One relationship that didn't work out, but the rest were really wonderful. And the first thing I did, and this at a very young age, someone told me, someone who's a mentor to me, and he said, get a board of advisors. Find the right people who've been through what you've been through so that they can advise you and help you so that you don't have to go it alone. Because it's incredibly difficult to deal with situations when you have all the responsibilities of your employees, their families, their lives, your investors, your clients. Mm. People say when you own a company, you're the boss. Really, you answer to everybody, not just yourself. And you have responsibilities. So I think if you can surround yourself with the right people, and I could tell you that my last company, my board of advisors, five of the seven people were CC members. Mm. Because I had that trust already. I had that relationship. And they didn't go easy on me. If anything, they held me to a higher standard because of the relationship we had through corporate connections, which I liked. That's what I was looking for. I wanted to be challenged. And they helped me raise my game and be better in every way. So I think if you can surround yourself with the right people. Now, I could give you a financial answer, an HR answer. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things.
Of course.
But I think if you have a good, tight-knit group that cares about your success, there's nothing like it to help you move forward.
Thank you very much, Robert Gervais.
Thank you, Thomas.
Nice to having you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to see you.
Ja, ihr Lieben, das war's mit der Folge mit Robert Gervais aus Kanada. Und wenn es euch gefallen hat, dann freue ich mich natürlich, wenn ihr mir ein Like da lasst. Und wenn das ein Problem war mit dem Englisch und ihr das nicht verstehen konntet, dann könnt ihr das Ganze auch auf YouTube ansehen. Und da gibt's auf jeden Fall dann die deutschen Subtitles. Und dann könnt ihr das alles in voller Länge genießen. Und ich kann euch nur den Tipp geben, Robert Gervais ist einer der wichtigsten Menschen und einer der wirklich besten im Bereich Business Networking. Und verpasst diese Folge nicht. Und ansonsten, wenn ihr Fragen habt, ihr irgendeinen Kontakt braucht zu dem Thema Corporate Connection, ihr Teil dieser Community sein wollt, dann könnt ihr das natürlich auch jederzeit bei mir anfragen, einfach in einer Direktmessage oder ihr schreibt mir eine E-Mail unter info@neuform.net. Und ja, ich freue mich auf euch. Bis bald, euer Tommy. Ciao.